I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger. So I can get in more squats anywhere I can. One, two, three.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. Four.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
The one thing about Salah, he's got a very strong sense of his own status and his own ability. It's not arrogance. He knows how good he is.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
All right, you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. A beautiful March morning today. You could feel that little bit of warmth in the air again. The sun was shining definitely in the west.
Beautiful, beautiful up here, yeah.
Lovely to hear about Dublin too. How's the form, lads?
Yeah, not too bad now. Yeah, like I say, beautiful, beautiful start to the week. Spring is here. And I enjoyed what I seen over the weekend. I had some great matches again.
It's good to hear.
All is good, yeah, all is good.
James?
The form is good. Do you ever hear of seasonal affective disorder?
I have. Yeah, I have. Were you suffering from it?
No, one of my friends genuinely has it. Like.
Oh.
Well, he doesn't know he has it, but I told him he has it.
So October to February, just
change,
on top
of it. No, I think he's actually the other way around. Oh, but say, yeah? If there's any bit of a change, it takes a little while to get used to it. But I'll tell you what, the change down here, it is stunning.
Beautiful.
There's only one place to be in the world at the moment.
That's a fine start to the pod, and it's a nice segue. I wonder, do the clutter of intercounty managers around the country have seasonal affective disorder? Because they are a cranky lot.
A few of them had it this weekend, all right?
Jesus, you were getting a bit of stick too, were you? Go on.
That's because they heard that he was trying to get them all sacked over the last couple of weeks.
You have a bad rep with the managers, Tommy. You have a bad rep with the managers.
Gone into the WhatsApp group between McStay and Brennan and McCabe and even Jack. You know, Jack kind of did a walk and talk and ran away from me as I was interviewing him. So, yeah, tough weekend on the beat.
They all hate the pod.
Nah, that's the thing. They love the pod. that's the question I had for you, James, Paddy. Is that your sense of manner? Was that your sense of managers, you know, this time of year anyway, James? Would they just be a cranky lot regardless?
They could be, definitely, this time of year when they're not sure what's happening or what's going on or how you're fixed. I suppose the uncertainty of anything does get into your head and you don't know who's going to be playing well or what your injury situation is. It is a strange time for managers, and I can only imagine what they're going through at the moment, because even I said last week I was fed up with talk about rules and rule changes and I just want to have it set now so we can go and enjoy the football. Like McGeaney had a very good interview, I think it was with Off The Ball, Tom, where he was saying that they're trying to prepare for one thing and then the rug could be pulled from under them and it could be completely different. So the uncertainty would make you fairly cranky, I think, especially when you're in a dogfight, if it's relegation or whatever.
Yeah, Paddy, poor Joyce had similar sentiments to All-Ireland winning managers from last year. Let's just be done with the changes and get on. We're obviously waiting. The Football Review Committee met Friday. They met Monday. They're trashing out what they've seen so far. We're expecting tweaks. I don't think we're expecting wholesale changes, but we are expecting tweaks to certain stuff. Did you? What was your sense of the weekend? Like, Robbie Brennan was incredibly strong after the game, and this is a Mead team that are absolutely ripping it up. 4 wins from 5 in Division 2.
Robbie Brennan had said just go back to the old rules. Was that right?
But Robbie Brennan said it's an absolute mess. He said that he gets the sentiment, but it's become a mixture of, I'll get the quote for you in a second, but, you know, zonal soccer, a rugby cluster, a scrum around the kick out, outdoor basketball in the attack. What I also heard Robbie Brennan say was that he celebrated like Jose Mourinho down the touchline when Conor Duke's goal went in. So I do wonder, was there a bit of Jose Mourinho in his head when he was doing this post-match press conference? It's one way to distract from Meade's wonderful form so far.
I think it's not perfect. We said there'd be teething problems. We've had 5 weekends of it. I don't think you can honestly hold your hand up and say that the football, the quality and excitement in games has not been 10 times better than what we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years. So the idea of, and I don't know if Robbie Brennan said this, to just scrap it and just go back to the old way, not a fucking chance. No chance. Football needed to be radically changed. It's not perfect. We've seen, even just from the two games I watched over the weekend, like the Dublin Armagh game on Saturday night, there were some errors made from the referees. We said that that's going to happen. I get that. Is every rule change perfect? No. And that's why the FRC are meeting, probably, and there probably will be tweaks to it. The main spotlight seems to be on the goalkeeper side of things. We said this last week, 12-11. The 20-second rule was a big issue over the weekend, and also the black card or red card. We've seen that in the Donegal or in the Galway Tyrone game as well. So there are teething problems, but we expected it. But you can't say on the whole, football, what we've seen over the first 5 weekends of the National League has not been light years ahead of what we had been seeing over the last number of years. So managers are ratty. They would generally see the media as a complete nuisance anyway, so we're not getting them at their best. I think that's
fair.
The truth. That is absolutely. You're telling me you're doing the beat a lot longer than we are, but I know from our playing days, managers after a match, the last people they want to talk to is the media. They want to try and talk with their team, their coaches. So we're probably not getting them in their best moment. And I agree with what Jimmy said as well, and the point McGeaney made. Like, the season is so condensed. It's so tight. You've got to juggle bringing through players, getting them exposure to these rules. You've got to juggle staying in your division and getting results on the pitch. And you've also got to juggle that. By doing all that, by the way, we also have the championship in about a month's time as well. So we're preparing under these things. There's no break to take stock nearly for the players and the coaches when they're in the middle of it. And then the idea that, and I don't think this is going to happen, but we might just change the rules completely and what you've been working on for the last 4 or 5 months is out the window. That won't happen. There will be tweaks, like I say, mainly around the goalkeeper side of things. But I do totally get what we hear from managers over the last couple of weekends. They're just a bit pissed off because it is all consuming. There's brilliant football happening. There's brilliant performances happening. But we're guilty of it. We start every single show with the rules. Mm. Was this good? Was this bad? So I can see why they're frustrated. But I think overall, Gaelic football is in a lot more positive spot now than it was for the last 4 or 5 years.
And I'll be honest, driving down the road yesterday, I was questioning myself a bit. I was like, am I missing something here? Like, am I missing the crowds that are turning out the games? Am I missing the noise in the stadiums, the people on the edge of their seats, how engrossed people are in the game? And I just think there's that. It's not a disconnect, but I think the pressure on managers is off the charts, Paddy, as you're saying. And I think their perspective on it is going to be slightly different to say.
But the players they're the last people we should listen to on this. They're the last people. We spoke with this so many times. All managers are focused on is result.
Yeah.
We need our team to win this game. So they will do anything by hook or by crook for their team to win the game. They're not thinking long term. They're not thinking, entertainment and crowds and all that stuff. They could not give a shit about that. Their sole focus is on, I need 2 points at the weekend.
Yeah.
So are they the best people to start listening to and driving change in this? I would seriously question that.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm going looking for players, James. It could be hard to get players as well. Like, I thought Johnny McGrath and Shane Walsh were very interesting here the last day. Even Ethan Rafferty, when he wasn't happy with certain stuff with Canavan, it was interesting to hear that interaction. What do you reckon, James?
I reckon we should just park whatever they're going to do, decide no, and let's go on for the rest of the year. I do not want to question the rules again. You're right. Like, we're talking about the rules so much, and it is frustrating. But like with Robbie Brennan, he is probably the one manager in the country who can speak out against rules because he's actually overachieved. Like, if you're bottom of the league, you can't come out and slate the rules because they're going to say, oh, it's bitterness or it's only sour grapes.
Joyce,
like,
as well. Joyce is in a good spot.
Joyce is pretty positive on them, though.
But Joyce has fellas playing out their skin. Like, Shane Walsh is just absolutely lifting. But I'll tell you what, if I do have one gripe, and not to be a negative, Nelly, it's not rules, it's Division 1. The final of Division 1 is there's fellas trying to not be in it. It absolutely cracks me up. No, it's actually not good enough from the GAA, to be honest, that to be happening. Because if you look at Division 2, 3, like, they're all going at a hammer and tongs, right? And as well, in the bottom half of Division 1, look at the dogfight Mayo are in, the performance they've had to put in with two wins and a draw recently. Kerry are in a dogfight. Tyrone are in a dogfight. They're going all the way to the end. And Donegal and Galway and these teams have to pull up. They have to... McGuinness is interviewed last night, and he's dead right, by the way. He was like, we have to see what's right for us now to see if we'll even raise a leg in the next couple of games. And we're here then as the media, right? Trying to analyse form, analyse teams, analyse rules, and they have to throw their arse at the games. So, like, that is a serious issue as well, like.
That's on the GAA. We said this.
It is.
This letter's been in the post the last couple of years. The National League.
No, but it's gone beyond the joke now. Like, come on, it's your second best competition. Like,
just push the championship by 1 week. And so we have a flagship league final weekend. Players would like it and enjoy it. Chance winning silverware in Crow Park. Supporters, people around the country definitely want to see that. And this is what I'm saying with the managers. They don't give a shit about any of that. It's like, we need our team in the best possible shape for the championship, so we're going to throw ours at the league. And they're entitled to do that. They're not thinking longer term, like, that side of things. So, and you don't blame them for it. So the GAA need to make that decision, go, can we just push this out a week, the start of the Connacht Championship and Provincial Championships, and give the teams who make the league final the opportunity to go and win a national tournament at Crow Park? But that's not rules related. That's the GAA's fixtures, and that's we've said this three years. This is the third year of this, Tommy, is it? We've had this conversation.
Yeah.
Well said, lads. Well said. It should have been sorted a couple of years ago. It's not, I don't think it's even going to be sorted next year. But very well said. It's a pity. It's a shame.
But outside of all of that stuff, I watched Derry Donegal yesterday, and I thought it was an absolutely brilliant match. Unbelievable game. Unbelievable game, and everything about the rules that help play into it. Derry looked like they're out of sight, playing some brilliant stuff. I was very critical of Derry the week before and was kind of Paddy Talley, those players under a bit of pressure, their performance against Dublin and Crow Park was not at the races. And you're thinking, and they're in a tough spot, they're not getting results. But I thought their performance yesterday, even though they were beaten down the stretch, I thought there was loads of positives. They're in a serious dogfight that the champions could be getting relegated, but the way things are looking. They were caught the first day against Kerry, where they seemed to have done enough to win the game, and the same yesterday. Donegal just caught them at the end. But I thought their performance was... Conor Glass was exceptional. Brendan Rodgers was brilliant. The battles he was having with Oisin Gallen and then Michael Murphy. Conor Murphy. Doherty, Eaton Doherty, Lachlan Murray, lads.
Yeah.
He's a player.
He was clinical in everything he did, bar the goal chance in the first half with Patton. But I thought he's just so direct. What an exciting player to watch. The only caveat I would have for Derry, and we've seen this in all the games, it was Cassidy and Lachlan Murray inside. And Cassidy, we know, no matter where he's playing, this guy's going to get five shots in a match. There may not be five great shots, but he pulls the trigger. And he's always good for a couple of scores. And McGuigan was playing a bit further out, and they've trialled this in most of the league games. He kicked his freeze, but he was on the edge of the game. You know, he was on the periphery of the game, and you're just thinking, I get it, they're trying to do something. Maybe he's working his way up to form and fitness and all that stuff, but when Derry are at their best, when they're Ulster champions, when they're one of the top teams in the country, McGuigan is central to everything. And if there was one thing yesterday, not a negative, outside the result, but just I thought McGuigan was a bit quiet, and that's kind of seeing that throughout the league with him. But I thought there was loads of positives for Derry yesterday. Their transition, kicking the ball, and I know they had the win in the first half, but even the second half, really fast transition. I liked the way they were playing. They got some big performances, but Donegal, and this is the thing with the 2 point scoring arc, we've seen it even on Saturday night. Dublin were 15 points down at one stage and got it back to 3 or 4. And Donegal the same yesterday. Darrell Boyle, we're talking about guys in the form of their life. He's doing some serious work out at right half forward. Kieran Thompson, long range kicking. Murphy coming on around the middle. Like, I know maybe...
Talk to us about the impact there, because I had half an eye on it watching the game.
It was different from what we've seen maybe in the Armagh game, where it was all on the scoreboard. You know, he had some massive moments, but yesterday it was around. He was just horsing around.
Breaks. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a pig.
I liked it. I thought Robbie Brown's giving out, going, it's like a ruckus out in the middle. Yeah, It was class to see. And the one thing, we have seen it in five weekends, and again, yesterday, we see Double Armagh Saturday, Derry Donegal yesterday. If you get on top at midfield, it is incredible the impact that is having on a game. Like the momentum, like Armagh blitzed Dublin on Saturday night in the first half, and they're 12 points up at halftime. Third quarter, Dublin absolutely annihilate Armagh's kick out, and only for a bit better shooting, they could have been ahead. And we've seen the same yesterday in Ballyshannon. Donegal get on top around the middle third, get onto Oran Lynch's kick out. Murphy, that influence he had around the middle. He made one, there was one where Rogers goes up to catch it, and it kind of bounces, it's bouncing around, and Murphy just comes in from out of shot, and basically just throws his whole body and arse in the air, and ends up getting it. It was just, it was class. And then the second they got it, they were gone. But that momentum around the middle third, that is so, so pivotal. And it's exciting to see. But the performances for Donegal, Darrell Boyle, exceptional. Murphy's impact, Kieran Thompson. Who else was very good? I just
Shane O'Donnell. Shane O'Donnell buried their first goal. They had a
Shane O'Donnell, brilliant. Conor O'Donnell as well. But like, what we say, it forces teams to take on shots that they never would take on. When you're chasing a lead, if you've got the skills and you can kick two-pointers, it gets you back into the game. And that's my thing. And I said, don't talk about the rules, but bringing it back. The rules are there to create an environment which promotes the best skills in the game. High fielding, kick passing, athleticism, scoring, accuracy. And it's no surprise when you see the likes of Shane Walsh in incredible form. That's what we want to see. And I think just that game alone yesterday, Derry Donegal, like under the old rules, Derry are 8 or 9 points clear, it's gone.
Game
over. Keep the ball for it. And there's no chance of getting scores back. They shut up shop. But you can't do that. And that's, you cannot look at that. And there's examples every weekend, the first five weekends, and say that that's not a positive thing. I thought it was a brilliant game. I thought it was a credit to both teams. Some brilliant individual performances. And even though Derry look like they're under serious pressure to stay in Division 1, I thought there was enough positives from Paddy Talley and those players yesterday that they'll go back and play Donegal in the first round of the Ulster Championship and they'll take confidence from it.
But it's in your best interest to take shots now, because the opposition kick-out is an attacking platform for you. Like, you're actually in the driving seat when
Limerick
the opposition goalie, the foot down, has the ball down on tee, the attacking team has the advantage because you've an extra man and he's probably kicking into a bit of a breeze. Like, the turnarounds are absolutely mad.
Is that not like, good? Do we like that? Is that a good thing? I can see why coaches would absolutely hate it. But from watching, is that not a good thing?
I think
it is a good thing.
I think it's tough on the field when the momentum goes against you. I'm not sure if teams have cracked how to just, like, the swings are so big, Jim. Sorry, I cut across here.
You have to suffer. You have to just strap in and suffer for maybe 10 minutes at a time. Like, before, it was maybe a minute or two and you could do something to change the momentum. No, like, you could be pinned in for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big, big change, like a big shift. And it's going to be hard mentally for even a forward who wants to be involved in the game. Like, in the Kerry Dublin game, in the second half, the Kerry forwards did not have a possession because they did not get the ball. It could happen in a big game this year where you go 20 minutes without touching the ball because you're pinned in on the kick-out.
Do you think, does that play into managers' frustration? That we're so programmed for years. These guys have been in Gaelic football for 30, 40 years, playing away and having success in different coaching roles, whether it's club teams, their own county teams, colleges, whatever it might be. And this is such a drastic change that they can't control it. 100%. And that lack of control is like, that's why they're all so pissed off with this. Because it's like, you could be the world's best coach, but if that momentum goes against you, and I don't think any team has figured out a way to try and manage that.
What?
But that's exciting to watch. Like, say, watching just from Saturday night, Dublin, 5 minutes a second, after 15 points down. And you're thinking,
and turn around.
This is gone. This is a non. And then they get momentum, they get a goal, they get a couple of two-pointers, and all of a sudden it's still a game again. They don't pull it out of the bag. But that type of jeopardy within games, for supporters, for people watching it, I think you spoke to more players on the ground, Tommy, than we have, but players seem to really enjoy it as well. Yes, it's probably more physically demanding because there's just no breaks in the game. Like, really every free is a solo and go now. Kickouts have to be gone in 20 seconds. There's no breather.
It's relentless.
Maybe yeah, maybe there's not more distance being covered, but just your breaks where you could.
Yeah. I made that point that you just made there this morning and off the ball breakfast as well, that lack of control. So players, the managers used to control where players took a shot from, and you could tell them exactly where you take your shot from. Managers used to control where the kickouts went, and that they have possession straight away. And I think that's absolutely feeding into the frustration now. Managers do not have the control they've had for the last 15 years. Back in the 60s, when Johnny Cullerly was playing ball with Kerry, he did that interview with Owen Sheehan, James, and he was talking about the fact that the manager would just turn up on the day. The lads would train themselves, you know, they would pick the team themselves, and the manager would kind of just help them out on the day. And that was really it. You go maybe 10 years later and, you know, there could be 10 selectors with a manager, and it could be like a committee that would be picking the team. And I just think that the cult of the manager became so, they had a stranglehold on the game. And I think that's been loosened a little bit at the minute, and we're seeing a little bit of kickback of that. I can understand the frustration. I can understand.
Nobody likes change, Tommy. Nobody likes change. In anything. Everyone hates fucking change.
And I've been wondering, and I asked Paddy Dunican the same thing on the Football Pod last week, when is a keeper going to crack these short kickouts, right? And I think this weekend we saw a little bit of tiredness creep in some of the games, and nobody would have seen this apart from the 4,500 that were at the game in Cusick Park, Mullingar. I think there was a lot more, to be honest, but I was told there was 4,500 at it. The place was packed. Conor McCormick went short with 10 of his 17 kickouts. I have not seen this yet. And I was wondering why Meade were letting him away with it. I just don't think they could figure it out. Sam McCartan, Paddy, we know how intelligent this fella is. Sam McCartan won so many kickouts where he was making a run one way, looping, coming back and winning in the corner and starting.
Oral Lynch was good for Derry as well yesterday. They were getting, you probably need to be there to see it, but there was a couple of kickouts he was getting in the centre channel. Yes. On his own. And I was going, Donegal are going to be all over that for the Ulster Championship. What happened there for him to get that off?
Exactly.
He's a Rafferty as well. So it's...
This is it. You need to figure it out.
The last kickout that McCormick went short with, Meade got a high press and turned him. And they did it in the first half and got a point, and did it in the second half and nearly got a score, but one of them touched it on the ground. So when you do let a keeper go short, I think there's a bit of a trap here, and we would have seen the Dubs do that quite a bit. I can picture Paddy Small in that COVID semi-final against Cavan, letting a Cavan forward go down the line, or Cavan defender go down the line, and absolutely milling him once he set the trap for him. So
Mayo did it to Kerry as well, Tom, didn't they?
They did, brilliantly.
Show the line.
It's interesting. And just a note on that, there's been a lot of talk about the size of the Meade players and how big a team they are, and they are big, and I was really impressed with some of them at the weekend, but Meade were eaten alive on the kickout and the break at the weekend. Meade eventually got a bit of a hold in it towards the end of the game when the game was in the melting pot, and they showed a lot of leadership. Billy Hogan found some really important kickouts. Menton won a few. Kyogan had a couple of big turnovers. Owen Frayne kicked a couple of late points. But size-wise, Meade have lost Ronan Jones now to a hamstring injury. He's been brilliant at 12. And they're just missing it at the minute. They were eaten alive around the break. Like, there's a different sort of fielder needed these days, and a different sort of player needed around the half-back line.
But it's also very, it's hard to put a finger on what teams are doing differently. You know, because we're seeing swings winning the games. If you look, say Saturday night, this was Armagh at midfield without Grimley and Ben Creeley.
True.
So they're two absolute mainstay midfielders, huge players. They weren't there, yet they absolutely annihilated. Dublin won 3 of 14 kickouts in the first half. And Armagh scores, and they should have been further ahead, were all off that winning the kickout. So, but then second half, Dublin don't change anyone. There's no personnel. You know, there's no Brian Fenton coming back from retirement. Yet they absolutely dominate in the third quarter with the same players.
They're not looking at their own kickout. They're looking at Rafferty's kickout more. Do you know? I think it's almost easier. Yeah, it's easier to attack the kickout at the moment, especially when your keeper is pushed up and he's hanging. Looking at your own kickout seems to be causing some serious difficulty.
Do you remember when you were both breaking through, right, in intercounty football? And I'm not sure if either of you were in and out and around the ruck for kickouts, right?
God, no.
But can you imagine Kieran Whelan or Shane Ryan or Darrow Shea or Scanlon, right? And when they wanted a kick out, right, they'd put the hand up and they'd call it. I think the art of how you would hit your big man on the kick out has sort of been lost, because there's a lot more kind of angle balls going out and finding a fella on the wing, whereas now it's going out into a ruck, and I think it's hanging a bit.
Is the kick out just hanging that bit more at the minute? So it's easier to come in at the back of a fella and attack it. I don't know what it is.
Skill of the goalkeeper then. That's the ball flight from the goalkeeper.
I think the ball flight could be a little bit off. But I have to make a note. Like, you wouldn't have seen this, but the Mayo Kerry game, lads. Kerry were very poor in the first half. Jack said it himself. They were leggy a long 5 weeks. But they kind of turned it on its head in the second half and they went at Mayo. They took the lead. Dylan Gainey was very good, I thought, throughout that game. A couple of two-pointers, a couple of lovely passes in the first half. David Clifford eventually comes into it, but Dunham Cue did a good job. He looked a little bit hamstrung, Clifford. He had a lot of tape on the leg, dropped a shot or two short, and dropped a free just short that I'm sure Sean O'Shea would have nailed. But when the game was in the melting pot, Aidan O'Shea made two of the finest fetches I've seen so far.
The second one with the knees in the back was absolutely outrageous. Oh my God, it was a beautiful.
It wouldn't happen previously. That was not going to happen. They'd be trying to chip it out to the fucking corner back click.
Yeah, and
this is why it's good. This is why it's good.
Led to a score. Same with Andrew Mernon for Tomás McCormick's. But did you see what happened in the next kicker, right? So Mernon wins the kickout. Did you just see it? So Mernon wins the kickout. It's an unbelievable fetch. It leads to a score. And then it just shows you how smart some of the dubs are. The next kicker comes in the exact same pocket. Mernon has his eyes on the ball, clattered. And it wasn't a free. Refs didn't see it, but he gets taken off.
He did get a free.
Oh, did he get a free for that? Okay.
He did, yeah.
Okay, but they weren't letting him catch it clean again. We also saw, lads, two of the most exemplary examples of a player handing the ball back. And I know it's still counterintuitive, but I thought Conor O'Callaghan doing
it. Conor running after him to pass it back to him. That was comical. Who do I give it to?
Clifford did the same thing in the Mayo Kerry game in the last couple of minutes. And, you know, obviously the ball would be brought forward 50 yards, but the Mayo attack started like that. So I'm not sure we're going to see that one dropped. If you just give it to the nearest fella. That's it. The nearest fella. You just hand it over to the nearest fella.
That hasn't been as much of an issue as we thought it would be.
I don't think it will be. I kind of like it, to be honest. It's kind of grown on me.
50 metres or so far. In the Armagh Dublin game, when Rafferty was fouled at the end, the ref brought the ball.
Rafferty, get out of it. That was ridiculous.
But the ref brought that up 100 metres. He actually did, because he was fouled. He was fouled about 21 yards
over.
I wouldn't mind. I was waiting for a bet to come in. I needed that point to go over. I was like, keep going.
I think the referee was absolutely shattered by the end of that game. There was, you know, the end of the game got messy. You can't blame him. There's a lot of getting used to at the minute.
It was a messy
last 10 minutes.
It was. I thought Rafferty was very good, lads. And I thought.
He was.
This is, I'd say.
Too good.
His brilliant pass for McCambridge for the goal. I loved that from our mass perspective. That's the 12-11 that they had to play. Dublin were trying to press and they knew, and Armagh are very good with their set plays, we know that, but it was like McCambridge was free. He drifts in from the far corner and Rafferty has the skills to pick him out with a beautiful kick pass. McCambridge really fumbles it, but still gets away with the goal. I love that. Like, I know 12-11, but I thought it was brilliant play to see. Talk about cleverness, cohesion up front, team movement,
pace.
Brilliant kick pass, brilliant finish by McCambridge. Very poor defending by Dublin, but that's beside the point. I actually want to make a point on that with Dublin. I've noticed this over the last couple of weeks. But I love that from Armagh. And that's, I think, by all the mood music from the FRC, that is going to be the one that they're going to change. So we may not see Rafferty or Morgan or these guys coming up the pitch, but that's a pro for it. What a brilliant play and skill set and move by Armagh to take advantage of it.
We mightn't linger on it, but I heard that Canavan was on the Mayo Football Podcast last week and he mentioned that
Peter.
There's a lot on the table, obviously, at the minute, and they kind of trashed it out on Friday. They'll do it again tonight, the Football Review Committee. And then I think we should have news around the 13th of March is when it's expected. But Canavan mentioned that they're considering only allowing the keeper to touch the ball inside the opposition 45. So I don't know, is that going to be on the table? I'm sure they're considering a lot of things at the minute.
Do
you know what I've noticed, right, is that Canavan wasn't on this committee from
beforehand.
The beginning. I don't think he's on the same wavelength as the boys at all. But honestly, if you see,
can we get Peter Canavan on the football podcast? Let's hear it from the great man himself.
He's getting blamed for everything.
Never give out about the initial FRC were very. There is. were very kind of, they were on the same page and nothing was ever questioned or this is the way we're going. It was very tight knit. But then Canavan replaced, was it replaced Murphy, I think, or one of the
yeah,
boys?
Yeah, Murphy and O'Rourke.
And then on RTE, Canavan straight out in one of the interviews. He was like, I do not know why they're doing this. And he was on the committee.
But it's a good point.
Fly on the wall for a Jim Gavin, Peter Canavan conversation.
I think publicly, I think you're right. The Football Review Committee have been very tight. There's been very next to no leaks. They've all been on the same message. But as far as I'm aware, privately, there's a fair bit of debate. There's a fair bit of...
Even between the three of us, we'd probably disagree about...
Everything.
Yeah. Do you know, there'd be one for one thing. Maybe
it's the personalities. You've got to get different perspectives, I think.
Exactly. And you've got to separate, I suppose, opinion and, you know, fact and stats and all these sort of different things as well. Lads, let's take a quick break on the football pod. There's loads more to talk through. We have another pod coming this week. A lot of good feedback to the Paddy Dunnigan interview last week. You two boys are going to have to pull out an interview too soon because, you know, we've 15 players to get in here, like, so we're going to have to get working on it. But a lot of good feedback to that last week. The pod, of course, is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Paddy and James, sit tight. We'll be back in a minute. We'll be going around the grounds and I want to get you on a few little bits and pieces from the weekend as well.
My amazing new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra reduces noise in my concert videos with Galaxy AI, taking them from this to this. Now I have time to bejewel my favorite artist's faces onto jackets. This one really captures their eyes.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that reduces distractions so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with common video formats accessible in gallery, helps minimize 6 select sounds. Results vary. Galaxy AI features by Samsung free through 2025.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James Donoghue. James, I'll be honest, knowing that the countdown clock was in the last 5 seconds as Keith Curtis's brilliant pass landed in the hands of Connor Duke. And all Meade needed was a point. I was, you know, internally, obviously I was neutral in the press box, but internally I was screaming, just fist it over. It's the only time I've ever felt myself say it. And De Gossen, playing in his first ever, you know, National League campaign, kicked 5 points last week, 2 two-pointers, 3 points from playing the first half today, roofs it into the top corner of the net. Talk to me about that finish and the moment. Yeah, I called him a lunatic on the field after the game. I think he was a little bit out of it.
First of all, I don't know, will that situation happen for another couple of years? Like, the ball coming in, last second, draw game, and you're getting a shot off for goal on the buzzer. And for it to hit the top corner, I tell you, that must have been the greatest feeling of all time. And then the reaction by everyone, a sensational finish under pressure. But I suppose the whole argument is, did he get it off in time in terms of the buzzer or the hooter? And everyone was saying, oh, the hooter was fairly low, or, you know, you couldn't hear it. On the video, it was deafening, the hooter.
I'm aware that the hooterer. The hooterer, I reckon, was in the vicinity of where that video was being recorded. So we've seen footage that can't be released, right? And...
It sounded pretty clear on that. Like.
Yeah, and it's very clear. You couldn't hear it in the ground, right? And now I was also behind Prospect's glass in the press box. So it bloody ruins the atmosphere in that sense when you're trying to do live radio updates. But that's just a minor media issue, but we'll figure that out again. But you can't hear it in the ground. And I was told by some of the local Westmeath journalists, Jerry Buckley amongst them, that even on a club game, you can't hear subs being announced when it's quiet in a club championship early first round game. So the PA
system. This is in Cusick Park specifically.
Yeah, in TG Cusick Park. Okay. So look, I don't think the investment has been put into the hooter systems and the clocks around the country yet. A little bit of guff coming out of Croke Park that they're reluctant to push ahead with this. I know in the background there's a little back and forth about it. So it's been voted through Congress. I'm surprised that it hasn't been sealed.
I'm very, very for the hooter. Like, even when you're watching a game and you see it's on 62 minutes, you know what has to be done in 8 minutes. Whereas previously it was like, there's 8 minutes left, but fuck, there could be another 7 or 8 after that. You don't know, like, you don't know what's going to happen. But, like, you know now, there's so much time you have, get it done. And I must say, that goal is the best thing that can happen with the Hooter. You know, he's got the winning goal right on the buzzer. Like, that is what we wanted. That's what I was thinking when I saw the new rules about the two-pointer. You're a point down and you throw one over just on the Hooter and you win by one. Like, the same with the goal. I suppose there's obviously going to be controversy because did he kick it before or after? Obviously, we don't have the technology.
There's milliseconds in it. I felt like it was on the buzzer, which would be a goal.
Yeah, I think it was probably on the buzzer. Plus, the buzzer is quite long. So maybe that is kind of skewing people as well, because the ball had hit the top corner, hit the ground and nestled, and the Hooter was still going off. So I suppose that's kind of, you are kind of thinking, did the Hooter go late or early? But I think it was a goal, and I think it was the best thing that could happen for the Hooter, an exciting goal to win a game like that.
What about the Gosselin's decision to go for goal, right? Because we obviously saw Conor Gainey come off the bench for Kerry. A flash move. He slipped in and he fisted the ball over the bar where he could have gone for goal.
Well, I know myself, when you're young and hungry and at it, there's nothing exciting about chipping a point there. Do you know what I mean? He has got it and he's seen the goal. His eyes have lit up and instinct has taken over and he's gone, I'm rattling this. It's only when you get older and you have a couple of horror stories under your belt that you change your decision. Do you know? It's like you've missed it and you've cost your team. Then you might think that the next time to do something different. But the fact that he's just caught it, instinct, stuck it, bang, game over,
it's
game
one. I think that's unbelievable. Jimmy, isn't it? That, you know, it's instinct. He's not even thinking of that. He's not thinking of it. It's just he's the act of catching that ball and landing. And where he is, I don't think there's a thing going through his head there. He's literally like,
yeah, which is the best thing that he could
10, 15 years of playing. Catch the ball on like the 13 or 14, turn and go for goal. And it was a brilliant score, a brilliant result for me. But to be honest, I thought it was a goal as well. I know the buzzer's still going, the ball is in the net, so I'd say benefit of the doubt with the attacking team. I thought it was a brilliant moment, a brilliant goal for him.
The thing about coaching and overcoaching, that is actually almost a prime example of it. Like, as you go on, there's so many, you're being told so many things, or kind of practice so many different scenarios and, you know, game management and all this. Sometimes instinct does you like. Sometimes you just need to think about nothing, only what you've practiced.
If you've got the skills to back it up, Jimmy, instinct can be a bad thing as well.
If your instinct is outside of the booth from the side.
Exactly. It can work both ways, but I thought it was a brilliant finish.
Okay.
Yeah, savage stuff. You mentioned Ethan Rafferty's pass to Barry McCambridge for Yamago. What about Petey Hart's pass to Darragh Canavan, who rattled the back of the net in Tyrone Galway? Thought that was a beaut as well. A dramatic ending to this game too. I'm not sure if you followed it in the Sunday game last night. Obviously, game wasn't you know, on live at the time. I think the hurling was on Limerick and Clare. But Tyrone were up. They were ahead, similar to Derry. They were in control. They had a black card, so they spent a lot of that second half with just having to keep two up. Peter Tate comes back on, and he goes back to defender, and suddenly they still only have two up. Referee doesn't cop it for quite a bit. There's a bit of consternation about the clock, and eventually, instead of a one-point free, there's a two-point free, and Shane Walsh does what Shane Walsh does, and he splits the post to level the game up. So
I think Kieran Whelan, was saying last night as well that it is a harsh penalty for a technical error. You know, like to lose 2 points there. But now, in fairness, they were full on defending with 13. The 13 of them were holding the ball, so it was on the higher scale of the error. But to lose 2 points for it is a lot. On the other hand, Shane Walsh is a cheat code on the new rules. Like, any chance he gets to take a 2-pointer, it's over the bar. Like, even that free pressure on late in the game, outside the big arc, it was never in doubt. Put it down and swung it straight over the black spot to draw the game. Like, the pressure side of things doesn't really...
Do we not want to see our most skillful players?
Absolutely.
In an environment where they can showcase their talent.
Yeah, and Shane Walsh is showcasing, and he's the man that's really taking it on. Even the penalty, you know, took on the responsibility, buried it onto the next ball. I think that he's flying at the moment. I hope he can sustain it, because if he does, he'll create moments all summer, I think.
I agree.
That's what the kids want to see.
Yeah, I agree. Really exciting.
Do you know
stuff.
He doesn't? I don't know. Does he get the love? Do you know what I mean? Like, he can. He almost I don't know, to see split opinion at times.
But from
like you see, Clifford and maybe a few more, Rean O'Neill during the summer, and even maybe McGuigan, they get showered with love, and even when they get the kids come out to the field after the game, and I don't know. I think Walsh is right up there as good as anyone in the game at the moment.
I see Walsh getting the same treatment with kids and giving time to them. I've seen that in the flesh myself. I think. I don't know, it's harsh and I wouldn't agree with it, but I wonder, did the transfer colour things for maybe a little while there, like, give people an easy way
is
to
Is this for the Galway fan base, his own fan base, like, or nationally? Like,
I was thinking more nationally, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's an admiration for how good a footballer he is. I think
his talent's incredible.
Yeah. Incredible,
yeah,
it is.
There's frustration with him at times, and we've been on this show frustrated with him in terms of maybe delivering consistent performance at the highest level, but that's when you have the talent he has, his bar is so high. Like that All-Ireland final performance in 2022 is nearly a curse for him, because that's the expectation. He didn't have a good final last year, but because the way that game was played, no forward had a good day.
Also, Paddy, I think
outside the penalty.
Yeah, exactly. But I also think it's worth noting, I think there was a little bit of understanding given to maybe Conn's form or Clifford's form when they were a little bit injured last year, a little bit off it.
Maybe Walsh, more leeway, like.
Yeah, Walsh went through the pain barrier last year. I know for a fact, you know, he could barely kick a ball in some of those games. You know, you could see him turning down shots. He was definitely, I think he had issues with the quad and a few other bits and pieces. So,
talent-wise, he's as good as anything there is.
We might see
natural
it this year just how good he
scales,
can
be. Natural right foot, left foot exception, and it's brilliant to see it over the last 5 weekends.
I wonder what he'd have got in that All-Ireland final under with 2 point there.
Yeah, must have a look at it.
There was probably 3 or 4 of them that were 2 points.
2022?
Definitely.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but how many were Cliff got?
Yeah, but the one down the sideline.
120 points each.
You know the one down the sideline, down by the Hogan, where he kind of opens the legs with the big stride and splits between two Kerry defenders. It could be Morley and O'Sullivan, and just opens the right foot and curls it into the hill. That one was certainly a 2-pointer. And then there was one the second half down by the Cusack end when the game was kind of going away from them a little bit. There was a 2-pointer there as well. So, yeah, no, that's one we're looking back on. Paddy, we talked about a football pod curse over the last couple of weekends being the fact that if we all pick the same team, it may not happen. And, you know, I thought we avoided it when Sligo were well on top of Fermanagh and they were about to win it, and I was like, look at me making the right call here, but it ends up being a draw. Perhaps the football pod curses if you go for a coffee or a tea off the record with Paddy Andrews during the week, because poor Kildare were caught in the headlights by the Banner County this weekend. Keelan Sexton's late goals securing a huge win for Peter Keane's side.
Yeah, they needed it, Clare, but
beware, it's
going to be a tough game. Yeah, not flat white. No, it was a tough game for Kildare. Didn't get the result. They should still be all right for promotion. But
yes, it's interesting there.
Ennis, tough place to go. So it was a good win for Clare. They need it.
Ennis is tough. Ennis plays tight. Yeah. It's a great surface, but it plays tight. And if you lose a bit of momentum there, it's hard to get it back. But that was another one. Clare were a point down, and Sexton went for a goal, and it wasn't a gimme. Like, that was a serious finish into the bottom corner. You think, I can imagine Peter Keane screaming at him nearly, take a point maybe, and look at the kick out. But like, to go for a goal there and win the game, and that puts Clare right back in the mix for promotion.
Talk about excitement. The lead changed, I think, 3 times in injury time or towards the end of the game. Dermot Coughlin back in the field. You would have seen him in the Munster final, how good he was in the first half last year. I know you were impressed, James, at times with him over the last couple of years with Clare. Coughlin comes back on. Great command of a football, real good control. There's a bit of a Geraghty in him, I think, at times. That's kind of what I see when I see him playing football. He gets 2 points. He puts Clare ahead entering injury time. Then Alex Byrne sends over another 2-pointer. He kicked 2 2-pointers in the game to send Kildare ahead by a point. And as you mentioned, Sexton goes for the juggler late on, hitting the bottom corner.
Savage stuff. Magic. How can anyone say that's not unbelievable excitement to watch? And for traditionalists, unbelievable skill. So if you're taking that for the diehard GA, what unbelievable moments of skill from those players.
Cracking stuff.
All young people watching it go out and start practicing those skills. And for us, Muppets in the media, like, it's unbelievable excitement for us as well. Like it's, I can't get over the negativity around it.
Yeah. I think it'll all settle down. And I do think that there's an element of that the pressure is on the managers like it is on no one else. And I do think it suits them down to the ground a little bit too to get the conversation motoring elsewhere. That might be a little bit cynical of me, but I think there's an element of it. Like, just to mention, like, the Clare forwards that were in action, Aaron Griffin, Owen Cleary, who's back, Kieran Sexton, Conor Meaney started, Kieran Downs, Emma McMahon, and then obviously Coughlin coming in. A lot of quality there on the field. The Kildare forwards, Dara Swords, who I would have seen in Leinster club action earlier this year, Kevin Feely, Niall Kelly, Ben McCormack, Callum Dalton, who's been very impressive, and Alex Byrne. And then you've got Jimmy Hyland coming off the bench, and they're missing Kerwin there as well. So, like, there's a lot of quality there. Daniel Flynn comes off the bench in the 78th minute as well. So I think Kildare Westmeath in Newbridge, I flagged that already a couple of weeks ago, that is going to be a cracker in Leinster early doors. But that was a great game in Zimmer Biomet Park Kissogue in Clare, as it's just been named over the weekend. So that's
one to keep an eye on. For that, like.
Lads, the other games that are worth flagging, right? So we're going to come back to this on our members pod later in the week, but Monaghan Mead in Navan now is going to be an absolute cracker. Monaghan 127, Loud 121. Loud came back late on. They were 15 down, I think, at one stage in this game. They got it back to 3.
Of course, Rory they Began. Were.
Yeah,
everyone was down 15.
Better off being down by 15 and then start going after it.
Well, Roy kicked, I think, 4 2-point frees and a penalty as well.
Yeah, unreal. Love
and
it.
And then Began nails 2 2-point frees as well against the wind. Of course, he does.
Is there any point in him going for a 1-pointer anymore? Like, what is...
It depends.
Go for 2-pointers.
That was a big win for them. And Cavan have produced it again. Cavan are kind of outside shots here from motion. I don't think they're going to get there, but
that's surprising,
they're on 6 points. Roscommon and Monaghan. Yeah, Roscommon and Monaghan are locked on 8. Bottom of the table.
Rossi's got back on the track, though, didn't he?
Yeah. I think it was a messy game now. I think Cork were very poor. Hit the bar twice, but a lot of breaches of the 3-up rule. I think they got done for Ben O'Carroll's goal. They kicked it back into their own half. The keeper couldn't touch it. He's out of nets. So O'Carroll gets it, skins him, and puts it in past the defender on the line. So, Rossi's 221, Cork 13 points. So it's Monaghan top of the table, Roscommon second, Meath are third, all three on 8 points. It's score difference if all three are on the same points. Meath are Roscommon on the head-to-head if it ends up going to head-to-head. And Meath-Monaghan essentially feels like a shootout for promotion in Navan on St. Patrick's weekend. So that is going to be a cracker. Division 1, you know, chock-a-block there. You've got Tyrone and Derry down at the bottom, 1 point, 3 points. Pressure really on Derry there. Armagh, Mayo, Kerry can still be dragged in, but a massive win for Mayo and McHale Park. Kerry have Armagh next at home. They've lost 2 home games already, James. They're going to have a little break now after 3 weekends or 3 long away games, and they're 5 so far. That's a must win at home. It's nearly unheard of for Kerry to lose 3 home games in Division 1.
Yeah. Do you know what I suppose they did start off, you know, when they missed the first game that was postponed, it kind of put them on the back foot, and they haven't gotten up to full capacity yet. A week off will do them good. I think that game is going to be massive, but like, Armagh have come on every game, they seem to be improving. That is a really, really, really tough game for both sides there. And again, Armagh coming down to Clarnie, they'll smell a bit of blood. They'll want to kickstart their year. A win there would be huge for them. Yeah. Kerry need the win to survive.
Armagh had the chest out against the Dubs in the Athletic Grounds. Yeah. I kind of felt that was going to happen. I know, Paddy, you were up against it on the members pod with your pod picks, but you were the one who chose that game, you know?
Yeah, so, probably shouldn't have chosen that.
I think O'Donoghue has joined you at the
Armagh
bottom.
Armagh were very good.
Are you
very good, didn't
they? You joined James. I know, James, you're still a point off. You're still at the bottom of the table, I think.
That's fine, but when I do eventually catch you, which is an absolute win, not if, right? And say I'll be joint second. I won't be joint bottom. Just to let you know.
You'll be picking gibbies then. Is that what you're saying?
No, but if we were all on the same points, then Tommy would say, and joining James at the bottom is, no, it's the top. Other direction I'm going. I am on the way to the top.
Well, let's see it. There's a couple of weekends left. You might catch up with me. We'll do our members pod and we'll do our picks. I'll calculate the table later in the week. But on the pod, I'm ahead. 2 from 3 this weekend, and fucking Sligo letting me down. I just want to mention briefly, Aoife Lane got in touch
has done a lot of great work with the WGPA over the years, and she's doing a research project on women in Gaelic games. She's looking to gather and share a sense of women's experiences, good and bad. The more responses, the better. So it's to do with women's football and the LGFA. So I'm going to share the survey on the Football Pod link. And if anyone, if you're a parent, a coach, a supporter, a player, referee, administrator, employer, get in touch and do that survey. So I'll share that survey later on. Obviously, the more to do it, the better, and the better research that Aoife will be able to gather there on that one. So best of luck with that. Look, at loads of great football over the weekend, loads of interesting stuff. There's a break week next week. We'll have a members pod this week. We'll have a members pod the week after. And we'll also know by our members pod next week what, I suppose, rule changes there may be, if there is going to be any more. And hopefully then that is it for the rest of 2025. Anything else to leave us, lads?
When say they do come back with this,
they're in play for
maybe two or three changes. Is that it then for 4 years? Four and a half years?
At the end of the season,
they can do another review.
It'll all go to Congress at the end of the season.
So there's another review at the end of the year.
Yeah, so essentially the year itself is a trial, so it'll all go to review at the end of the year. We have a hell of a lot of questions and comments in. I'm going to get to them all on our members pod later this week as well. Paddy and James, enjoyed that. Anything else before we leave it there?
Nope, loads to go on.
That's it.
There's one clip I actually might play just on the referees and the 20-second time limit, because we might briefly touch on this. It felt very punitive in the Kerry or the Dublin Armagh game. Comfort got stung for 15 seconds twice. I think we know that. But Shane Manton got in touch. He was playing at the weekend. He's a dub. Just have a listen to this. It might just cause a bit of consternation down the line. And just to remind you, the 20 seconds is supposed to be guidance. So it's up to the referee's discretion. They may have to relax that 20-second rule to be a little bit more because of situations like this that may arise. So this is Shane Manton, who got in touch on the Football Pod Instagram.
Hi, lads. Just a quick one on the 20-second kick-out rule. Playing Junior B for Fingallians against Baldoyle yesterday on Dove Gall. And 20-second kick-out rule was a non-event, as we only had two footballs, a strong breeze, the short panel, only 15 lads on the pitch. So I'd say the kick-out actually took a minute and a half every time, so we didn't have to spare a ball by in the goal. But the referee, we were giving them off and stick over, and it was a great crack, but it's a pain in the backside, that rule.
So, pain in the backside, and I hope there was no dissent rules for giving the referee stick. In fairness, the referee came into them before the game and said, look, lads, this is the situation, this is the guidance, but we've only one ball or two balls and there's wind, so I'm going to give you as much time as you need. And he reckons it took about a minute and a half, so there was no real calls there. It's going to take a bit of common sense, and it's going to take a bit of cleaning up, but I think that's one, Paddy, that certainly needs to be cleaned up a touch. Maybe just relaxed a bit, the 20 seconds.
Yeah, as we were saying beforehand, I don't think it was a major blight on the game. Goalkeepers wasting time. I didn't feel like that was a massive thing anyway. I did think it was a bit farcical the other night in the Armagh Dublin game, both teams getting pinged when I don't think either side was actually trying to game anything. And it just throws up, and we know this is going to be a massive issue with these rules. We're looking at the very top end of the game here, senior inter-county, and there's teething issues with this, with linesmen, umpires, all that type of stuff. I think bringing these into the club game is going to be a whole other kettle of fish. We're seeing it now, all the club leagues are on at the minute. It's going to be very difficult to try and manage that. That's another issue coming down the tracks for the GAA, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, enjoy the rest of your Monday. I will catch up with you later in the week for our members pod. Looking forward to it. Thanks everybody at home for tuning in. Hope you all enjoyed the football at the weekend, even if you were tearing your hair out at times. I think it's hard to deny that it's exciting at the minute. Let's get it off our seats. Cheers, man.
See you later, lads.
Cheers, boys.
My new super smart Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra keeps me a step ahead thanks to Now Brief with Galaxy AI. It shows me my daily appointments at a glance so I can focus on my passion, posing my pups to recreate French paintings. Bruno, you look like a princess.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that streamlines your day so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Displays daily select info from select apps, may require internet connection. Galaxy AI features by Samsung free through 2025 and require Samsung account login.